You'll take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It's always a blessing to be a guest speaker and to see how the Lord's kind of weaving things together. But sometimes you have a guest speaker in and it can be a little scary. Someone wrote this about guest speakers. You know you're in trouble when the guest speaker begins with, "A funny thing happened on the way to church this morning." Or, "Last night I had a dream of footprints in the sand." "Cereal boxes don't normally lead to sermon ideas, but this morning..." And "Here are the notes I was going to give, but I've decided not to give that message and simply say some things that need to be said." That can be scary. Over 37 and a half years, I've probably seen and heard about it all, you know what I'm saying? So the Lord's been very, very good. So ladies, I'm glad you're here and you can be listening in on this message, but this message is to the men this morning because I don't think you want to answer this question. The title of the message is, "Will You Be a Man?" So girls, you're... Of course, in 2019, but anyways... Someone asked Bruce Jenner one time. No, anyways... We're laughing to keep them crying. I know that. So 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong." I'll be building upon a few points that Brother Jeremy brought out here this morning. But I find the fourfold structure of this verse quite interesting. Three of the admonitions are in the realm of doing. One is in the realm of being. Watch ye, that speaks to our alertness. Stand fast in the faith, speaks to our allegiance. Quit ye like men, speaks to our activity. And be strong, speaks to our audacity. It's almost like your word provoking. There is a good kind of audacity. Have an audacious faith. Alertness, allegiance, activity, audacity. But quit ye like men. Quit you like men. The word "quit" there doesn't mean. You know, sometimes you feel like, all right, yeah, I'll quit. Okay, I can quit tomorrow, Monday morning, I'll quit. All right, but the word "quit," that English word means in this instance behave or function. So plug in those definitions. Behave as a man and function as a man. Don't merely pretend to be a man. Don't merely act as if you are a man. Don't convince yourself that you're a man, but be a man. Amen. Behave as a man. Function as a man of God. I believe that maximized manhood is obtained by fulfilling the three major functions that God the Creator designed for men. And these will be the three points: to guide, to guard, and to give. Maximized manhood. Let's see how those fit when we're speaking of being a man of God. So Heavenly Father, I do pray that you'll help us this morning. Folks have ventured out on a wintry sort of morning, or maybe even last evening. And Lord, as has been mentioned, we have come to hear the word. And Father, all is vain unless the Holy Spirit comes down. And so Father, we pray for your blessing, your favor, in these next few moments in particular. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's look at that. How can I be a man? Number one, guide. Guide. I listen to the words of our Savior in John chapter 10. Listen to the words of our chief shepherd as he speaks in John chapter 10, the great shepherding chapter of the Bible. In verses 1, 2, and 3, he speaks about, "I say unto you that he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. I love that terminology. The shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. So we're guiding, we're leading. What kind of leadership is that? How about, number one, be a connected leader? A connected leader. I love the words of the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. Listen, John's writing, he's kind of looking back wistfully over the time that he spent with the Savior. And he says this, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. John speaks of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that was up close and personal. He said we had an acoustical connection, we had an optical connection, and we had a physical connection. Our hands have handled the word of life. Can you imagine that? Handshakes and hugs with the Savior. And I say it reverently, maybe putting an arm around one another. They said we were up close and personal. It was a connected leadership. I think we all realize that if we don't have a heart connection, before heavy correction, you'll wind up with insurrection. I sound like Brother Roloff. I love the way he used to do that. In Shelby, First Baptist Church, many, many years ago, I heard a story. In fact, a deacon and his wife came out of that church, joined our church later. And this preacher went to a pastor school. Back in Hammond, Indiana, back in the day. You remember how those pastor schools were all getting everybody revved up. So this guy came back to that church, and man, he was fired up. He was fired up. He's going to set some things straight. He was going to make this and this and that. Well, he was so fired up that within 6 months they fired him. He didn't have the connection. I would say, and that same man was in our church and became one of the most blessed friends I had, and a wonderful fellow servant, not a prayer warrior. And I would say that I had the same sort of leadership that that man had, and I took the same stands that he took. And, you know, we tried to, you know, position things with balance and so forth. But he looked at that man as a dictator. He looked at me as a shepherd and friend. Why? Because we had a connection. A connected leader, a credible leader. A credible leader. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10, ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. He said, you've been witness how we behaved ourselves. And boy, I tell you, that's men of God ought to behave themselves. Don't you think that integrity and credibility lead the way for, I'm going to make up a word, leadability? Integrity, credibility will lead, allow you to be that leader of God's people. You don't have to be incredible to be God's man. You have to be credible. You want to be faster than a speeding bullet? Have the strength to stop a speeding locomotive or jump over tall buildings in one single bound. No, no, no. But you must be credible. One of the things I fear the most is that someday I would ever do something so sinfully stupid that I would lose my credibility as a husband and as a father and as a pastor and as a friend, that I would lose that credibility. That's good reason for the prayer closet. Amen. A considerate leader. A considerate leader. In my opinion, there is no room in kingdom work for an inconsiderate, pig-headed, hard-hearted, tyrannical pastor. They do more harm than good in the ranks of God's people. A man ought to be a man, I believe that. But a man ought to be a gentleman. Thank God I had pastors that modeled that. And from a youngster when I was in grade school all the way up through, I had pastors that modeled that you could be a man, but you can be a gentleman. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 7 through 11, but we were gentle among you. Isn't that sweet? We were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children, because ye were dear unto us. And ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged, we gave instruction to every one of you as a father doth his children. That fatherly spirit, that gentleness, to where people are dear to you. Does that sound like your ministry? I hope it does. Second word, we want to of course, to be that guide. Second, we want to guard. Guard. Going back to John chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, Jesus says, but he that is an hireling, one is just there for the money, is not, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, and he leaves the scene, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. Guarding the sheep. As I said, you kind of paved the way, thank you, for that protection. When you begin to see your calling as a pastor more of an occupation than a vocation, a heavenly vocation, then you're in trouble. Because then you're going to start looking at what's the retirement plan look like, and what's the IRA, all that stuff, right? You become just there for hire. A job applicant had been asked on the sheet to make out for his application for work, says, why were you discharged from your last position? The reply was, he wrote back, I was overly ambitious. I wanted to take my work home with me. The following question said, where did you work? He said, First National Bank. Something about a hireling there, I guess. So we guard. How about being a cognizant guardian? You can't spell it, but just write it down. A cognizant guardian. It speaks of alertness or awareness, but it starts with a C, so I use it. A cognizant guardian. I think we heard this verse. Be sober. That means serious, of course, and sedate. Be vigilant. That means alert to danger, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We've heard a term, I grew up in St. Man, it's a jungle out there. It really is spiritually. It is a jungle out there. That's right. There is a lion, a real lion out there. And it's really spiritual and moral insanity for a preacher to be oblivious or to ignore what is out there. Like we live in a cotton candy world. Everything's fine. Everything's hunky-dory. I'm okay. You're okay. You kind of get that, how to be a better you. Remember Jerry Clower? He told his old stories. I was talking about a lion. And little Marcel Ledbetter was always telling tales. He's always spinning yarns. And his dad was kind of mad at him. So one day, little Marcel Ledbetter came in. The neighbors had a collie dog, a real long-haired collie dog, and they decided to shave that thing. And as they were shaving it, all the way, they got up to about the collie's shoulders, and the dog ran off. Well, that collie dog ran in the front yard of Marcel Ledbetter, and he come busting in the front door and said, Daddy, Daddy, there's a lion in the yard. There's a lion in the yard. His daddy looked and said, Marcel, I have told you not to lie. I have prayed for you. I have instructed you. He said, you go up to your bedroom and you talk to the Lord. And when you have sufficiently talked to the Lord and have got things straight with him, you come down these steps. So little Marcel was up there for about 10 minutes. And little Marcel came down the stairs very, very cautiously. His daddy said, did you talk to the Lord? He said, yes, I did, Daddy. Did you sufficiently have that communication? Yes, I did, Daddy. He said, what did the Lord say to you? He said, Daddy, the Lord said when he saw that dog for the first time, he thought it was a lion too. But there's a real lion out there. A cognizant guardian. A committed guardian. A committed guardian. John chapter 13 and verse 1 speaks of our shepherd, our chief shepherd, our Savior, our Master. And the Bible says this. John writes this. This was John's observation. This is what John felt. And having loved his own, which were in the world, watch this next phrase. He loved them to the end. Wow. He loved them. And that was an interesting crew to love, wasn't it? I've read some different things about the disciples' ages. I'm leaning more and more to these guys are probably a lot younger than what we think most of the time. I can picture them in their late teens, early 20s. Maybe not Peter, but, you know, but quite fascinating. He loved them. And John said that. We felt that love. We saw that love in his eyes. And he loved us. He could say that. He loved us to the very end. Doesn't say that he loved them until the third quarter financial report. Or he loved them until a harsh criticism came his way. Or he loved them until he had a clash with the Ladies Lemonade Society. Or he loved them until no one remembered that it was Pastor's Appreciation Month. For no one even said anything. Pastor's Appreciation Month, and nobody said a word to me all month long. No, he loved them to the end. So hang in there in love, really, in sunshine and shadows, through tears and cheers, even when the crew speaks of mutiny, lovingly take the ship forward. Been at Calvary for 37 and a half years. By God's grace, I've outloved, outlasted, and outlived most of my potential troublemakers. But I loved them. A courageous guardian. It does take some courage to stand in these sin-crazed days in which we live. Joshua 1 and verse 9, Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Joshua was well aware of the people problems that Moses had from time to time. But now he is going to be leading that people, and the Lord is saying to him, do it courageously, for I am with thee. That's a good reminder, is it not? The Lord is with us. May God help us to take a stand in these days courageously, lovingly, and firmly. I think what helps me take a stand today is that I know that someday yonder I will stand before the Lord himself. I'm not going to stand there before 3 or 4 or 5 deacons. I'm not going to stand there before family members. I'm not going to stand there before even my own wife. But I'm going to stand before him, and I want to hear his, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So guide and guard and give. Give. John 10:11. I am the good shepherd. What does a good shepherd do? You all know, right? The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, on behalf of the sheep. How about being a Christ-like giver? A Christ-like giver. I read this someplace. I like what Brother Atkins used to say. He said he wrote so many things down over the years that he said, I've come across it, and if I did not have the source, I would claim originality. But I'm not going to do that. But I wrote this down someplace. It says this, true manhood and Christ-likeness are synonymous. True manhood and Christ-likeness are synonymous. A Christ-like giver. There are some times that you just want to hug people, and there are some times you want to hang them, but the hugging takes over. A Christ-like giver, a cultivated giver, a cultivated giver. I'm just going to use this in principle, Philippians 4 and verse 11, and I love the Apostle Paul's transparency. I have learned. You almost would have thought at that point Paul kind of knew it all. But I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I have learned to be, and then fill in the blank. It's a cultivated thing. Maybe the pastor you sat under wasn't the most loving, giving sort of man. Well, you can learn to be. I am so thankful that when I grew up, and we were one of those, back in the 60s, we were one of those kind of deals where mom got saved and dad got saved and kids would go to church, and then all of a sudden same things popping up in junior church and Sunday school, and I got saved in junior church. Our whole family of five, Lord bring back the days of the 60s. But as a grade school kid, you know what I observed between my dad and Pastor Myers? Is that I knew Pastor Myers loved my daddy. I saw it. I heard it. Just the way they interacted. And my dad would do anything for Pastor Myers, and I think Pastor Myers would do anything for my dad. That made an impression upon a little feller. God help us in our interactions with moms and dads. And when the children look up, they say, my pastor loves my mama. My pastor loves my daddy. You can learn to do that. Hopefully it comes naturally from that shepherd heart, but you can learn to be more people connected. You can learn to be more loving. I have learned. And be a creative giver. A creative giver. I'm not speaking the realm of material things. But the good shepherd lays down his life. We do that. Our life is made up of time blocks, is it not? We got these little time blocks. And if I'm going to lay down my life for you, I'm going to take a time block and I'm going to commit that time block on your behalf. I'm going to commit that time block to you. The good shepherd gives his life. You can do that. In time, you can do it creatively in writing. Just sitting with we were at a volunteer chaplain's appreciation banquet last evening. Sonia and I were, and sitting with a woman, and I think she and her husband are around 50 years of age, I suppose. And we were talking about all the modern days, ways of communicating, texting and emailing and what is it, Snapchatting, and somebody help me here, tweeting. So anyways, she said, you know what I like most of all is when I get something in the mail, I open the envelope up and open up a card and read something from someone that's been handwritten. When was the last time our people got something handwritten from the preacher? You know, think of that. Those types of things. Be creative in attending important events. They may not be so important to you, but they are important to your little ones and their families. When they see you show up at a recital, oh, there's Pastor. There's Pastor and his wife. You come to some recital. You took time to go there. Maybe a school play where they're doing the tree. But as they're doing the tree, they look out in the audience and say, there's my pastor. Graduation parties. Graduation parties are something, they mean something to the families. hospital visits. Someone dies in a family, and you as a pastor go to show your care and consolation. Be creative in that caring, that giving. Pouring yourself into the ministry and pouring yourself into the messages of the ministry. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 15, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Woo! What a heart. I will spend and be spent for you. Be creative and even in message preparation and how you prepare and how you deliver. I came across this, and I don't know if this guy is even living anymore. Successful speaker. You want to be a successful speaker? Okay, here we go. This is from J. Oliver Crom, president of Dale Carnegie and Associates. I got a feeling by the time this illustration made its way to me, he's probably gone. But anyways, he said, successful speaker, there are three E's. Okay, you guys ready? You're going to write down three E's. This will be easy. I crack myself up. The weird part is when I start laughing, I'm the only one laughing. I say, okay, all right. Thank you for being so kind. All right. So here are the three E's for a successful speaking. Increase your expertise on your subject. That's good for us, right? Get in the word expertise. Increase your expertise. Secondly, be eager to share your knowledge. So we have here expertise, and we could put eagerness. And then he said, generate excitement by the manner in which you present your speech. Wow. There's no substitute for enthusiasm. So those are the three E's: expertise, eagerness, and excitement. I see nothing wrong with that in the delivery of a message that God has given you. Right? Because we love our people. We will do that. I say to folks, and I'm down to my last page. See right here? I'm right here. It's okay. That's the last page. Now let me pick up the sheets, I'll read from the other side. No. But I think especially in these days, you know, folks come out on a Sunday night or Sunday morning or Wednesday night. Some of them have worked all day and they're tired and the weather's, they get out of nice, warm, comfortable homes, or in Sunday morning, they're getting out of nice, warm, comfortable beds, and you know, it'd be a lot easier for them to say, oh, well, we'll pray for the preacher. We'll just kind of, but they make their way to the church house with expectation. There's another E. But with expectation. They want to hear something. They are here to hear the word of God. And so as that person that's their guide, their shepherd, let's make sure that we are prepared. We have expertise on the subject we're about to do. We have an eagerness to share with them that morning, and we do it with some excitement. Amen, 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 amen. I know good preaching when I hear it. I just don't hear much of it. I've heard every message I've ever preached, though. Captive. Let's be creative in the ministry we have. And may the Lord help us to behave as men, to function as men of God, and manifest in these three ways: how we guide, how we guard, and how we give. So Heavenly Father, help us fulfill the desires of our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.